Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
If someone, a constituent of mine, or someone in this country has strongly held pro-life views,
oh, here we go.
Can you commit to us to make sure that the federal exchanges that offer that is clearly identified and so people can understand if they're going to buy a policy that has abortion coverage or not? Because right now, you cannot make that determination.
Sir, I don't know. I know exactly the issue you're talking about. I will check and make sure clearly identifiable.
Well, here's our request. Can you provide for the committee the list of insurers in the federal exchange who do not offer, as part of their package, abortion coverage?
I think we can do that, sir.
Well, you should be able to do it.
I just said.
No, you said if we can do it.
No, I think we can do that is what I said.
I think or I know we can do it.
Sir, I can't tell you what I don't know firmly right now. I know that is the plan. I will get that information to you.
An exchange yesterday between Congressman John Shimkus and Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. During your testimony yesterday before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, why was a question about abortion and the various insurance plans on the exchange, the various services on the exchange, an appropriate question for the Health and Human Services Secretary yesterday? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Reformation Day, October the 31st. Congressman John Shimkus joins us for the first few minutes of this hour. We'll be asking the question that he asked and see what he made of the answer that Kathleen Sebelius gave him. A little bit later, since it is the eve of All Saints Day, we will be studying the Church Triumphant Hymn, We Sing for All the Unsung Saints. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Congressman John Shimkus is a regular guest. He serves the 15th Congressional District of Illinois. John, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Why did you feel the need to pose that question to the Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, yesterday?
Well, it was part of a threefold questioning in which it was about transparency. And so, as I said in the question, there are people who are concerned citizens who want to know if they enter into a health care contract, by buying that insurance product, will they be helping the abortion industry and killing unborn children is really the basis of that. And to have the exchanges not be clear in what they're offering, pro-life individuals do not know, and we have a right to know.
Now, I wonder what you read into what the Health and Human Services Secretary had to say, how she responded to you. She seemed to say that she was unaware of whether or not they had delineated a list of healthcare providers in the exchange that would meet that criteria. What did you hear there?
Well, what I heard was, what we know is if you eventually can get into the exchange, you can't tell. An individual consumer cannot tell based upon the information provided if that is a covered service under the plan. Then what I heard from her was, again, she understood my question, I think. And I think I don't trust them. So my point was, give me the list of those insurance companies. So we can't trust the government to provide that, but if they can give that to me, to the committee, we can get it out to the pro-life community so they can tell the pro-life community, which insurers in their states do not provide abortion services. So that, I think that was the intent of what we're trying to do. And now, as you could tell, I don't trust them in providing me that information. It's something she should be able to do. I don't think it should be very difficult. That's why it's very frustrating.
As you began your question there, I don't know if you heard it in the course of the committee hearings themselves, but we certainly heard it, and there it was on the audio. As you began your question, a female voice chimed in. Someone's mic was open, and as you began your question, someone said, "Oh, here we go," in a rather sarcastic tone. Do you know the source of that particular comment at the beginning of your question?
Well, we can only assume, because obviously the pro-life community has been also raising this issue. The assumption is Anna Eschew from California, who spoke right before me, and she forgot to turn her microphone off. I think that's who that was. And you know, I know Anna real well. I will tell you, she is a friend of mine. And if that's what people don't understand, is how we can have so divergent views and beliefs and still be friends. And that's kind of what government does. But I think she didn't give me a chance to answer my question before she already made a judgment on where I was heading. And I think on reflection, she probably wasn't really in angst over the question that I asked. But it does show you that pro-abortion representation is very active in Washington.
It seems as though even before the question was posed, at least as represented by her brief comment there, that the pro-abortion members of the committee just consider it a waste of their time to deal with the abortion issue when it comes to the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, it was a huge fight when the bill was being moved forward, and the pro-life Democrats, who we were hoping will hold their ground, eventually caved, and now we have this, and not only do we have the law, but you have us trying to continue to find out and ask the questions I have to ask. So I'm sure she's not. I mean, she is a pro-abortion representative, and I think that when the pro-life members of her own party were holding up the bill, it was very frustrating to her. But I mean, this is about life. This is what you fight for, and this is why people send me to Washington.
I wonder, have you heard anything from Kathleen Sebelius's office in response to the specifics of your question? Just a list of healthcare providers on the exchange that would not be paying for abortions?
No, but we expect to get it. I mean, now we'll just keep haranguing her to provide it. And she or other members of the Health and Human Services or the Central Medicare and Medicaid Services will be before various committees, and we can continue to push for that. We expect to get it, which is something that we don't have right now.
I wonder, just as kind of a matter of procedure, why is she testifying before the House Energy and Commerce Committee on which you sit?
Yes, because we have jurisdiction not over energy, but we have jurisdiction over commerce, and that's telecommunications, that's healthcare. So the healthcare law, the House version of the bill went through our committee for the most part. It does go through another committee, the Ways and Means Committee, but it mostly comes through the Energy and Commerce Committee.
What do you think the future of the .gov site that is administering the Affordable Health Care Act and dealing with the public, what do you think the future of that is?
Well, it's unknown. You talk to tech people who this is what I think happened. This is a personal view, is that, and this is why I focus on transparency. What really is going on? And what is the truth behind this? I think that the administration wanted to hide the true cost of these health care plans. So they wrote and directed the contractors and really some last-minute changes. Let's just don't list the prices and then have people sign in and then figure out which one they want and then see what tax credits they get to pay for it. Because we're afraid that once they see the initial cost of these prices, they'll stop going forward. So they tried to design a system that would calculate their tax credits prior to them choosing which policy, and I think that's what blew up the system. It was, in essence, a deceitful approach to the real price of the health care bill, and that was some of my questions beforehand, because even then, when they finally put up these projected costs, there's two of them, if you are 50 or under, you get quoted the price of a 27-year-old. If you are 50 and older, say you're 64, you get quoted the price of a 50-year-old, which is also a deceitful approach in getting people in to sign up for healthcare. So my whole question dealt with transparency and honesty from, if you like your insurance plan, you can keep it. We know that that's not true. That's a falsehood. This age range is a falsehood, and the fact that they're not fully disclosing for the pro-life community which policies don't provide abortion services is just really facts to support my assertion that they are deceitfully rolling out this plan.
Two final questions for you, John. Should there simply be right there in the course of signing up on one of the exchanges a very clearly marked place there online where it says, you know, object to abortion, click here, and you get that list that you're talking about, where the consumer, the person who's seeking the insurance, actually has access to that list of providers? Is that?
And we probably have that. Well, we wouldn't even have this bill if we had a pro-life majority in the Senate and pro-life president. But if we were had to put up with this law under that provision, that could very well happen. But remember, in the Senate, you have a pro-abortion majority and you have a pro-abortion president. So there's really no... You would think they'd want to do right. You know, to be honest with you, Todd, we've gotten some calls in the office from the country, from some pro-abortion supporters who thanked us for that question because they would like to know. So this transparency issue is not just pro-life, but there's the folks on the other side. Some of them said, yeah, that's only fair and right to know.
Finally, then, what do you think the future of Kathleen Sebelius as Health and Human Services Secretary? What do you think her future is here?
Well, I think that she'll hang on. I mean, who wants the job now? And she's been such a loyal trooper for this administration that I think she's going to continue to march in that direction of trying to sell this insurance program until, you know, who knows, if November it's not up online. If people still being outraged about their insurance plans and policies and costs and the fact that they can't get the insurance that they once had. But I think for now, the president's going to allow her to march forward, and that's what I expect.
And the future of the insurance plan, the government's insurance plan?
Well, I'm still pessimistic that we can stop it. It really would take a grassroots. I mean, I'm talking about the majority of Americans finally assaulting their members and saying, "Enough's enough! Stop this craziness!" And even though we have a lot of people, it's not reached that fervor yet.
Congressman John Shimkus serves the 15th District of Illinois. John, thank you very much for being our guest.
I'm happy to be with you, Todd. You take care. Happy Reformation Day too.
When we come back, it's also the eve of All Saints Day, and since it is, we're going to be studying the church triumphant hymn we sing for all the unsung saints. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.